Don't mind us, we're playing through. Here's Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Welcome to another edition of the Playing Through Podcast. If it feels like it's been a while since we've been here, well,
it has been.
It has been a while since we've been here. Crazy travel schedule, so much going on. It feels good to be back here in the studio. I know we missed the players, and I know we've missed some other tournaments. And so now we're here to recap the Memorial. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran, the morning show, joined by Golf Digest's Brian Wacker. Brian Golf, not here. He's got his own thing going on. We'll check in with him and see what's going on. But want to kind of pick up, cover all the stuff we've missed, but then pick up on the Memorial Tournament. A really huge, big tournament and a big win for somebody that I know you think a lot of.
Yeah, look, Memorial is a big boy golf tournament, big boy golf course. 8 of the top 10 in the world are in the field there. Of course, Tiger Woods, we'll get into that as well.
The GOAT.
But Bryson DeChambeau, an impressive victory for a guy who at this point, prior to last week, had one career victory at John Deere, which, look, take nothing away from that, but a lot of guys win one tournament. This is a, you would think, is maybe a big stepping stone for Bryson in his career. Still just 24 years old. Not the greatest final round from him,
no.
But survived in a playoff. Got to final round 71, emerged out of a three-man playoff, but scrambled like a crazy person last week, 17 to 21, I believe, to lead the field, getting up and down, and beats a hell of a field at Memorial in a big victory. And yeah, this is a guy who's got a lot of talent. Of course, there's a lot going on within the single length irons, all the physics. Remember, this is a guy who won an NCAA championship and the U.S. Amateur in the same year.
Wow.
This is a super talented kid. Came with a lot of sort of baggage, wouldn't be the right word, but a lot going on there. This smart kid. He majored in physics at SMU. This could be the launching point for some bigger things for him.
Yeah, I know he's a big proponent of Homer Kelly and the golfing machine and reading all that stuff. And he kind of dances to the beat of his own drum, marches to the beat of his own drum, so to speak, in that he doesn't really follow the cookie cutter mold that we all see other guys on tour swinging. And even if you know very little about the golf swing, when you watch him swing, you notice it's all one plane. It's all one thing. Even the way he putts, he takes that, he's got the putter. He's got it against his left arm. It's not anchoring. It's not against his body. It's moving against the left arm. So there's no issue there. He just does it differently, and this is just another proof that no matter how you swing the golf club, if you can swing it your way and be consistent with it, and that's exactly what he's doing, he's not listening to what anybody else is saying. And so congratulations to Bryson. Big, big win for him, and was not the best final round, like you said. However, pulled it off in a three-man playoff that at one point it didn't look like anybody wanted to win that golf tournament. I mean, Kyle Stanley had a rough first go. And then even on the second playoff hole, he had to make a really – that was a really nice putt he made, and he made a birdie on that last playoff hole. So good for Bryson.
But a playoff, by the way, that or a tournament really, that you know the back end of that final round didn't feel like it was going to end.
No.
And, you know, it was interesting because CBS, I know they caught a lot of flack for with the tee times, earlier tee times.
But they thought there was going to be
weather.
I get that.
And, you know, But at least they cut in late and they show the finish live. So
I tell you what I appreciated more than anything was, did you see him talking to Jack at the end? He was explaining to Jack how he had met him and how he had gotten into the tournament. He had gotten a sponsor's exemption, this, that, and the other. I just thought that was really cool to watch a guy who, here's Bryson DeChambeau. He's a two-time winner on the PGA Tour. You could see the little bit of like fangirling that was going on as he's standing there talking to Jack Nicklaus and explaining how he got into the tournament and whatnot. I just thought that was really cool how they captured that moment.
And Jack's great. Look, it's really cool. I mean, he's managed to stay relevant all these years later. You know, stays in touch with the young guys down in South Florida, has them over his club, has them over the house for lunch, all sorts of stuff. So very cool moment, as you mentioned, for Bryson. And you know, fun for the rest of us, too, because, as you mentioned, look, there's a lot of cookie cutters at the highest, you know, levels of this game, and it's fun to watch a guy who's unorthodox and a little bit of a character and has a different way of going about it. It's more interesting to me, at least as a guy who writes and tells stories and that sort of thing. I'd much rather have a guy who is offbeat or just different than somebody who is maybe – nicer and more accommodating, but just not that interesting. So Bryson, very interesting guy, as we mentioned, you know, incredibly smart. You can get lost in conversation with that guy, and I'll tell a story for another time. But let's talk about your, you know, Tiger Woods, obviously, was a big part of the story as well, and in contention again going into the weekend. This time it's the putter that lets him down, and I'm going to read you some stats here on Tiger's week. Led the field in strokes gained tee to green, strokes gained approach, and proximity to the hole, 23 feet 8 inches, which is terrific. Second to last in strokes gained putting, lost more than 7.5 strokes putting to the field last week. So that is brutal. Look,
and we're not talking
going to win golf tournaments that way.
No, we're not talking 5, 6, 7 footers. He did miss some of those, but we're talking inside 4 feet he was missing. So it's kind of, to me, and it's no secret, I'm a huge Tiger fan. I still believe Tiger will win this year. I still believe he's on track. I believe he's ahead of schedule. I believe he's ahead of his own schedule, if he was to be honest with us. I see this a case. He has put so much time and energy and effort into shoring up the long game, getting himself in a better position off the tee. And let's be honest. Now, let's go back to Torrey Pines, where he was awful off the tee. Even at the Honda, was not great off the tee. Valspar hit a lot of irons off the tee. Bay Hill, what was the undoing there? Driver knocked on Sunday. He's in contention, hits that driver way left out of bounds. So the driver has gotten better. He's not as wild. I think we lost one shot out of bounds this week at the Memorial. So the driver's definitely gotten better. The iron game is ridiculously better. The short game is better. So by doing all that, there's only so many hours in a day. He's got kids that he's tending to, as he should. So golf, not the number one priority. He's made that very clear. I believe the time spent working on his putting has suffered a little bit. And I was watching Golf Channel. I saw Brandel Chamblee, who we've had on the pod before. And Brandel's a huge fan of Tiger Woods. And Brandel has been at times harsh on Tiger, but Brandel does believe that Tiger will win again. But he says this was the worst putting week he's ever had, and he said it has a lot to do with his setup. His eyes appear to be outside of the golf ball, on the away side of the golf ball, so not inside towards his feet, but outside. And that back when he was putting in his prime in 2001, 2002, when he was putting and making everything, his eyes were directly over the ball. So if it is something as simple as a setup issue, I believe it can be fixed, that we can think that Tiger Woods can contend at the U.S. Open. Do you agree with that?
No.
You don't?
I don't. Well, look, I'm going to stand by what I've said all year long, and that, look, Tiger certainly had a schedule. I don't think anybody, including himself, and he's even talked in spurts about this, predicted that he would be at this point, when you look at where he was a year ago Memorial Day and everything that happened there. So, look, the golf is there. He's played good golf. Yes, absolutely. What I see, though, is this year, and I talked to Hank Haney for a piece on Tiger just recently, and what Hank sees is that this year is kind of getting back into the flow of taking it from the range to a tournament, then doing it consistently in a tournament, then playing a full schedule, playing in back-to-back weeks, being able to then take what he's working on the range to the course. And you hear guys talk about this all the time, and it's cliche, but it's true. The whole thing is a process. So then playing 4 days, working his way into contention. So all of that is a long, long process to get to this point where we're at now. And what we've seen at this point is that he simply just doesn't put it together for 4 days. He's really just another, I would say, high-level tour player right now, which is, look, that's no disrespect.
But would you
agree? I just think we've all gotten used to the fact that
But are we ahead of schedule? Are we ahead of schedule?
Absolutely.
Are we ahead of where you thought he'd be?
Absolutely.
Are we ahead of where he thought he'd be?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But here's the problem is that I think, look, we're all guilty of it. When we see Tiger get into contention or we see his name high in the leaderboard, we simply expect him to win. Let's remember, it's been 5 years since he has won a golf tournament. Jack Nicklaus talked about it last week. You have to remember how to win. Tiger even sort of admitted to it, that there's a remembrance factor of how, oh yeah, look, I sort of have to remember how to win. And there have been times this year when he's been in contention. The Memorial, certainly the case. I can go back to Valspar.
Valspar.
Where he's hit some shots under the gun.
That are uncharacteristic of the Tiger that we've come to know.
And the problem is we associate the name Tiger Woods with performing under the gun and doing it every time, and we have to realize this isn't the same Tiger Woods.
Right.
So it's not fair.
Yet.
No, it's never going to be the same Tiger Woods.
But we don't need – for him to win, he doesn't have to be that Tiger Woods.
No, but
– all we need is a guy that can consistently perform the way he did on the weekend at the Players. If you look at the weekend of the Players.
But that's every tour pro out there. That's every top level. That's Rory. That's Dustin. That's Jordan Spieth.
Right, right. The same thing happened to Rory this week. Rory had a rough go in the beginning, but then you look on the weekend, he got inside the top five.
That's not winning.
No, I get it. But I do believe he will win again. And I saw Hank tweet.
Look, I believe he will too, just not this year.
No.
I think well, we're just too soon. I just look at it from the standpoint.
Can he contend at the U.S. Open?
No.
Not at all.
I think he'll play okay there.
Does he make the cut?
But that's,
let's start there. Does he make the cut?
Probably.
Okay. So okay. So. All right. Yeah. All right. So we'll give him that.
I'll give him that. But
top 25?
Look, who knows? But here's the thing: he's going to have to hit the driver and have to hit it well,
but,
to succeed there.
But would you agree the driver, when we first came back, when we first started back,
sure, it's
on
gotten
this,
better. Sure, okay, the driver.
It was a
better
liability.
Sure.
It's not now.
But can
it's a strength.
But can it be every week? Can it be a strength?
I agree with that. But it was a strength on the weekend at the Players, and it was a strength
of course,
this weekend.
Well, the Players, though, you don't have to hit a lot of driver.
I don't,
Players.
But he did. But he did.
He didn't hit that many. I mean, look at it this way. He's going to have to hit driver a lot more at Shinnecock
for sure
than he did at the Players.
For sure. Absolutely. But he hit some nice drives at
absolutely
the Memorial.
But we can go back to Bay Hill. He hits that awful miss left out of bounds on 16.
Correct. On Sunday.
On Sunday.
Right. I agree.
And
but that
he
was,
still has some of those old
motor patterns that are still in there,
right,
as he calls them.
I was waiting
them
for you to say it.
Motor
yeah
patterns.
Yeah,
he
that's
does. He
the Tiger
motor
lexicon.
Listen,
there we go.
Listen, I got all the Tiger lingo down, I'm telling you.
Right.
I get
but
that.
But look, I'm not – sure. Can he win this year? Sure. Okay, because he's playing the type of golf that any of the top 50 guys – in the world are playing.
He's just got to put it together for four
he
days.
He just has to put it together for 4 days.
Which is not
that
easy to do.
Happened.
Right.
Not that easy. And look at how many guys have won this year. I mean, Justin Thomas won five times last year. Anybody going to win five times this year?
Doesn't,
I don't know.
Right. It doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look right. Great.
And it doesn't mean that Justin Thomas is in a slump. And
no,
it doesn't mean it's just,
it just means it's, A, it's hard to win.
Right.
And B, look,
the competition is so good.
If you took Tiger, or you sort of went pre-Tiger, the Tiger generation and his years of dominating, a really great year was like 3-4 wins a year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And what Tiger did was skewed everything to make us think that that great years are only 6-7,
right,
five, six, seven wins. That's just not the case.
Would you agree he's a victim of his own success?
Yes. Oh,
he set his own bar too high.
Sure, the bar is ridiculously high, and that's my whole point is that we fall into this trap of every time he gets in contention or moves up the leaderboard or has an unbelievable ball striking week that it's magically going to fall in place like the way it used to. And he's just not the same guy. He's not the same guy. He's not the same player. He's 42.
But
he hasn't won in 5 years. The field is different. The competition's different. All of it's different.
But I never thought
he'll
we
win
would
one of those.
I never thought we'd see him hit the ball.
No,
the
no,
way he's
not,
hitting
that,
it right now.
No, I agree. Look,
the distance. Because remember, that was part of the thing is that you've got these long hitters out there. J.B. Holmes. You've got
Dustin
Johnson.
Thomas,
now
Dustin
remember,
right?
He played with J.B. Holmes on Sunday. J.B. Holmes hit driver. Tiger Woods hit 3-wood. And he hit it further than J.B. Holmes.
Look,
distance is not an issue.
Look, all of that, Tiger is ahead of schedule with everything. He's doing things that, quite frankly, all of us questioned and were proven wrong.
I'm trying to get spinal fusion so I can hit the ball further. It's just not working, though.
In terms of distance and all of those things.
Let me ask you one more thing.
The shot making's been terrific, but you have to do it consistently.
For 4 days.
Or just within a week, having all parts of your game working, and you've got to have a little bit of luck. You got to have a lot of things go right.
Right.
And, you know, Tiger's just not the same. He's just another top-level player, and those guys just don't win that often.
Right. I get it. Do you make anything, and if so, what do you make of on Friday or Saturday when he said, my back was a little tight today? Do you make anything of that? That's the first time since the comeback that he has ever mentioned there being anything whatsoever that was hindering his swing because of the back.
Right. What we should clarify was not pain.
It was tightness. And he said that he made it very clear there was no pain. What I'm asking you is,
well, he's 42.
You've been interviewing Tiger Woods for many years. You've been around the Tiger camp and had to decode the Tiger speak. Do you feel that maybe this is some little honesty coming out of him of, yeah, I was a little tight, because I don't think we would have gotten that in the past? Or do you think there's a slight issue that maybe because of the violent nature of the swing, is there something creeping up with the back issue whatsoever?
Here's the way I look at it. I don't know what to make of it right now. I think it's you file it away.
I mean, we've all played golf. You wake up some days, you're a little tighter than others. I get it.
And I think you just make a mental note of it. Now, if Tiger, look, you can go all sorts of ways with this. The dark conspiracy theorist angle would be, look, this is Tiger. He's certainly played well and played ahead of schedule. He's truly only contended in Valspar. You know, Bay Hill was sort of a backdoor contention, probably wasn't going to win there unless the only way he even has a chance of winning there is if he birdies the last three holes coming in. And that's even just for chance.
And then Rory went on that crazy run there.
Exactly. So, and then Memorial, you know, Sunday was, you know, wasn't really truly.
No, Saturday he was in it.
It was more Saturday.
He backed up a little bit on Saturday when he three-putted 16 and 18.
Absolutely. So my point is, how long? Now, look, Tiger certainly seems to be in a better place, enjoying himself, all of those things. Seems to be in a good mood.
Yeah.
But the conspiracy theorist would say that, look, this is planting a seed that if this continues and he continues to not win tournaments, at what point does he just say, I've had enough of this because I'm not winning tournaments and that's not what I'm out here for. So that would be the one extreme.
But that attitude doesn't seem to have crept in yet.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I would 100% agree. I think that would not be my viewpoint, I would say. I would say that would be a viewpoint.
Yeah, he was very upset when he three-putted, rightfully so. I get it. He was upset the way the round ended on Saturday. I understand. He didn't like the way that he played on Sunday. I get it. But even with those things, there's two things I don't see out of him that we had kind of become accustomed to seeing. I'm not seeing the quit. And by quitting, I don't mean walking off the golf course and saying that I'm injured. I don't mean that.
I mean just going through the motion of finishing the round.
I don't see that. I see a guy that's still grinding and still trying
and
still playing his best. And then I don't see a guy after the round that doesn't want to talk to the media,
It
doesn't have anything to say, and gives nothing answers and seems completely disinterested. I'm not seeing either one of those, which gives me hope that we're not getting close to that because, yes, I have wondered about the same thing.
Right. And so I hear him say that, and I think, okay, maybe he just has some soreness. He's always been fairly honest about that, I feel like, in this latest comeback about, like, look, I'm 42. My body's gone through the ringer. Like, yeah, I'm going to be sore.
Right.
It's going to happen.
I'm going to have tight days.
He still works out like a maniac. You know, so there's going to be days where there's some tightness for whatever the reason. Now, is he maybe just floating that out there for just not getting the job done?
Right.
So it's probably somewhere between those last two. Who knows? But I think it's something that's worth taking a mental note of, see where we go from here. Look, getting back to your original point about the U.S. Open, I don't see him contending there just because it's a very difficult golf course where you've got to hit driver great. The ball striking certainly is good enough to be in contention there. The putting will be interesting. Because, again, and some of this speaks to you don't know how it's going to play out in terms of setup. Of course, last time they were there, there was major issues at the greens.
Right.
It was a complete disaster. I don't think we'll see that again, but you do wonder what weather will dictate and what setup will dictate and how it will all unfold. So, and the U.S. Open is more of a grind than any other major championship, any other tournament in golf. So, you know, that's going to be difficult. That said, look, harder the golf tournament is, generally the better he does. So
right.
It'll be interesting to see. It wouldn't stun me if he worked his way into contention at some point. I just don't think come Sunday down the stretch he'll be in contention.
I feel like his chances are better if it's a harder golf tournament and it's a score closer to one or two over par or even par that wins than it is if he's supposed to go out and shoot 20 under.
Look, we're not going to see what we saw at Erin Hills last year. I think the USGA realizes that they kind of.
I love Rory's comment. The USGA thinks we're a lot better than we are. I love that.
Oh, you know, look, Rory's terrific that way, but he's right, I do think we'll see somewhere. It won't be as difficult or as much of a disaster as we saw the last time I was there in 2004, and it won't be what we saw at Erin Hills, 60-yard wide fairways, where they were actually cutting down rough at one point and early in the week. So I think you'll see. And the course is very scoreable. I think you'll see a much, much more difficult golf course, something closer to a typical U.S. Open. And Tiger's won 10 years ago, by the way, his last major U.S. Open, 10 years this year.
Yeah,
so
on the broken leg.
Yeah, on the broken leg.
Against Rocco Media.
Amazing where it's all gone in 5 years since he's last won. But, look, would it be a shocker if he's in contention? No.
Right. There's nothing you can rule out with him. But I do have one other final question before we end this. As he struggled with the putting, he has stuck with this same Scotty for a long time. I know he did for a little while play a Nike putter when Nike was putting out the Method putters. Could you ever fathom seeing him change away from the Scotty and try one of the, you know, TaylorMade that Soto for Rory, and Dustin's had really good luck with the Spider and then the Baby Spider, and you've had
that Ghost putter.
Could you ever imagine Tiger? Because I mean, he's playing all TaylorMade driver all the way through wedges now. I see he changed the wedges to the mill grind wedge at TaylorMade. Could you see him going? Maybe trying it.
Boy, that would be interesting. He's always been
that ping grip and the Scotty putter.
Yeah, putters are. It's such a less technical thing. It's like the least technical thing. It is technical, but it's not.
It's a feel.
It's a feel.
And it's what you feel comfortable with.
And it's a look. And there's so many other variables that go into a putter versus a different club, even a wedge. So in terms of player, what a player gravitates toward and what they like. So there might be a day, when who knows. But, boy, he's such a creature of habit. It's hard to imagine. But you never know. I mean, look, at some point he might give it a try if he keeps missing putts.
Right. Yeah.
Keep missing four footers and if putting continues to be an issue, then maybe he'll give it a go.
Yep. So here we are this week. We got the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Another good tournament. I know a lot of guys are going to be getting ready for the U.S. Open, but some guys will use this as a springboard to try and find something and, get a jump start on the U.S. Open. So we'll be back at Shinnecock.
Oh, and of course we've had the U.S. Open qualifying this past weekend.
Oh, that's
right,
you were there.
Yeah, so we had that on Monday, golf's longest day, about 12, 13 hours, give or take, depending where you were. And, I went up to the one in Bears Club here in South Florida, Palm Beach Gardens, and your three qualifiers there. It was LSU's Louis Gagne, a terrific young rising player who you're going to hear a lot of once he turns pro, Georgia Tech's Tyler Trafossi with a terrific win in emerging from a 6-for-1 playoff, surviving that, six players for one spot there. And then Richie Wierenski, a guy who's been on the tour the last couple of years, nabbing a spot as well. So three spots came out of that. Chris DeMarco's son was in that as well. He was in the mix. He was part of that 6-to-1 playoff.
But he didn't quite get in.
Did not. He emerged as an alternate.
Did many alternates get in?
There'll be some alternates, but you'll have to wait and see how it shakes out in terms of who's the first, second, third, fourth, et cetera. There will be some WDs, et cetera. There's always somebody who seems to get in.
Right.
It's a grind, and some big names had to go through qualifying yesterday. Of course, Adam Scott was the biggest name. Having to qualify, hard to fathom. Here's a guy who 5 years ago
won a Masters,
reached number one in the world 4 years ago, and now having to qualify to get into the U.S. Open. Of course, goes out and does it, so he'll take this week off, which will save him. He's just been playing every week, grinding to try to get his world ranking improved to get up there. qualifies through the qualifier in Ohio. Keegan Bradley, Shane Lowry, some names that also qualified. Beef Johnston, the qualifier out of England. New York fans are going to love Andrew Beef Johnston.
Arby's.
Man. Yes.
Dude. Mr. Arby's.
He's a terrific guy. Of course, came on the scene in sort of the height of a couple of years ago with a high finish at the British Open, the top 10. So that was sort of where he emerged on the world stage.
Right.
Sam Burns, another player who emerged out of qualifying. Remember, this is a guy who, going back a couple of months, tied for seventh at the Honda Classic, was paired with Tiger Woods in that final round and outplayed Tiger.
That's right.
That day, and terrific young player there, just 21. So a lot of interesting stuff coming out of qualifying. And now we'll, as you mentioned, go on to Memphis, where you'll have some players who can still try to work their way into the U.S. Open field. And then we go on to Shinnecock for second major of the year.
Yep. Make sure you tune in later this week. We're going to have the Instagram sensation.
This I'm really looking for. This is a must listen. I'm sure a lot of our guys or a lot of our listeners already follow this guy, Bob Menery.
Yeah.
And you've been following him longer than I have. He's just genius.
I mean, it really is a great follow on Instagram. If you don't follow Bob Menery on Instagram, you're missing out. If you love sports and you love commentating and you love golf, Bob Menery is a definite follow. I'm going to have him on the pod later this week. We'll see you after the FedEx St. Jude Classic, and we are getting ready for the U.S. Open.
Playing through with Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.